Happy Mother's Day to everybody, and I guess my mom's in the back, but happy Mother's Day to you too. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for all the mothers out there, or even those that may not be our biological mothers, dear Lord. We just thank you for all the ladies that have been in our lives, that have touched us and just brought so much to our lives. In your name we pray, amen. Could open our hymns up to hymn number 7.
Welcome to service this morning. We're glad to have each of you here today. We pray God's blessing upon our gathering together. And we do honor our mothers. And as we would greet one another today, give a mother a hug and welcome to service this morning. And if you are celebrating a birthday, come on down during this time. We'll be glad to pray with you after our welcome time. But welcome one another, especially those that are our mothers here today. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day, Joe.
Thank you. What did we decide?
If I forget that during the announcement time, you just hijack me and do it, okay? All right. How are you doing, Allison? Nice to see you today. Happy Mother's Day, Carol.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Good.
Birthday.
Oh, birthday and Mother's Day. Good job. I think my mic is on. All right. Looks like we have, do we have two birthdays here or just one? We have one birthday anyways. Is it your birthday, Christy? I'm just trying to be subtle. I'm trying to be subtle. Okay, Johnny. Happy birthday, Betty.
Dear Lord, we just thank you for Miss Betty coming to celebrate her birthday this morning. We just thank you for her and what she means to our church and to each of us individually. We just ask you to be with her as she celebrates this birthday. We just also ask you to be with those missionaries out on the foreign fields as they celebrate birthdays today. In your name we pray.
Thank you, Johnny. Just a few announcements about the body life of our church. We're not having children's story right now. They're going to be a part of my message in, a little bit later on in the service, so just hang tight, kids. And they're not going to be, the older ones anyways, aren't going to be dismissed to junior church this morning. We're going to have them in here for the service, and for the little bit of the message that I'm going to be doing with the adults, I've got an activity sheet for the kids to do during that part of the service. So hopefully that'll all work out okay. But a few announcements about the body life of our church. One that is not in your bulletin, well, actually two that are not in your bulletin. We have these flowers here today, and thanks to Joe Laxton for bringing those in for our mothers. And at the conclusion of the service, moms, come on up, and Joe would be glad to give you a flower, and she's even got some other greenery to go with it. You take that home as just a little appreciation for you as a mother in our congregation today before you. For the ladies, not just mothers, but if you're a lady, that's right, come on up, of any description, come on up. One other announcement that's not in your bulletin, and I've asked to be making this announcement from the Drummondtown Baptist Church, is that next Sunday at 12:30, they're having a dinner to raise some money for their Alzheimer's walk that they participate in. I believe that's in the fall. I think that's when that is, but I could be wrong on that. But that's next Sunday after church at 12:30 is when it's going to start, and they're going to be serving ham and chicken salad. It's a spring luncheon. So that's next Sunday after church. I'll try to remember to get that put in the bulletin next Sunday so you have those details. And if you're looking for a place to go for lunch, that might be a good one, and you can support and help that good cause that they're a part of. Now, in your bulletin, there are a few other announcements that are about the body life of our church. You'll see youth group, there's some things pertaining to summer camp, but then as well, you've got a fellowship night coming up in just a few weeks at the end of the month at the home of Stephen Christianis. Also, you'll see that there's information in there as well. If you're interested in giving to support the relief effort in Nepal that's going on at this time, there's information in the bulletin about how you can help out with that. But I do want to mention the testimony service that we're going to be having a week from this Wednesday night here at the church. And we're probably going to have that here in the sanctuary because I'm hoping we're going to have a little bit larger group than what we normally do on Wednesday night. And we haven't done this in the whole time that I've been here, really just giving you an opportunity to share testimonies of praise to God. And so that's what the service is going to be, together with just a little bit of focused prayer. Nobody's going to have to pray if you don't want to, and nobody's going to have to share a testimony if you don't want to. But we've had a lot of good things that have happened in our church over the last little while. They had this Brave conference yesterday and had a great group of girls here yesterday, and some really great things spoken into their life and a good experience of growth for those young ladies. We've just finished off some Bible studies for both men and for women. We're completing the Dave Ramsey course this Wednesday night. We've also had a marriage intensive course that we did back in the fall, and other things, the men's conference, other things that have been going on in our church over the winter. And I just invite you to come and share a testimony of how God's blessed you in one of those areas, or it could be something else. I was talking to somebody this morning, and we were talking about baptism, and he was sharing a little bit with me about his baptism. I said, man, that'd be a great testimony to share at that Wednesday night service in a couple of weeks. Share your testimony of when you were baptized. That always encourages us to hear those stories. Nevertheless, I hope that you'll set that date aside. That's a week from this Wednesday. We're going to have a testimony service here at the church. Do I have any other announcements that I've missed? All right. Well, we're going to continue on in our service. Let's take our hymn books, and we're going to sing together number 344. Jesus loves me, this I know. 344 in your hymn books.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For love I will tell thee so. Little ones to him belong. They are reaped by his song. There's Jesus. Father, we thank you for this beautiful Mother's Day and what the mothers mean to us, Lord. Father, we thank you for this past week, Lord, all the blessings that you've so generously bestowed upon us. As we come to this time of your service, Lord, we present our tithes and offerings. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to take just a moment and join our hearts together in prayer for our church family and community, for our country, and for the world that we live in, and invite you to join your hearts together with me in prayer. Father in heaven, as we pause in prayer this morning, it is with real thanksgiving that we give to you for the many blessings that you give to us. And chief amongst those today would be our mothers. Whether if our mother would be living or be deceased, we give thanks to you for our mothers, for the fact that they've brought us into this world and they've nurtured us and, Lord, in some part played a role of who we are today. We give you thanks for our mothers, and may those that are active in mothering today with children at home, we pray, Father, that they may be encouraged and find a blessing strictly and directly from you for just the role that they play in their family's life and in our society of being a mother and having such a great influence over this new generation that's coming along. We pray, Father, that you would bless the memory and the honor of our mothers in our lives, but Father, also bless those who are mothers today with children in their home and make them a blessing in their families. Lord, we do thank you for the body life of our church and for the things that are being accomplished in our congregation. Lord, we give you thanks for that. We thank you, Lord, for things that are as simple as the individual that has had personal victory in some area in their life or has developed a new discipline in their Christian journey. And Father, we know that there are many that that is happening in. But Father, we thank you as well for those things that you call us to do together as a group. And we pray for our nominating committee as they meet to discuss and plan filling our slate of officers for this new year. We pray, Lord, that you would give direction to their steps. We're thankful, Lord, also for things like this Brave Conference that happened yesterday and for the folks that worked together and putting that together. And Father, for the girls that came, we ask, Lord, that you would bring a continued blessing into their life for what they heard and what they experienced. And Lord, may they discover and may they come to the realization that as a Christian young person, they're not in this alone, but that there are others who will walk this journey with them, if not of their own peer group, of those that are older than them. And Lord, we pray that they will be blessed and be encouraged in their walk and journey with you. Lord, we do also at this season of the year remember our high school and college students. When we think of college students that are just wrapping up a semester, perhaps are taking exams and are thinking of what they're going to do this summer or perhaps in terms of the future. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon them and that you would direct their steps. And for high school students that are in these last few weeks of school that are so important for their future, we pray, Lord, that you will give to them strength to remain diligent in their studies. And Father, as they would look to your leading for what would be ahead of them, We pray, Father, that you would clearly direct their steps. Father, we do pray as well for those within our church and within our community that are facing illnesses. We know, Lord, that there are people who have family members within our church that are dealing and battling with severe forms of cancer. And Lord, we commend them to you, and we ask, Father, that you would bless and strengthen. And Lord, for the many that have unspoken prayer requests today of a very personal nature, we commend them to you and ask, Lord, that you would bring blessing. Lord, as we look to this world that we live in, we do uplift the country of Nepal to you and pray for the relief and development effort that is taking place there right now, that you would direct the steps of those that are going, especially in the name of Christ. Father, we pray as well for those that are facing persecution around this world. And I read recently that just this week there is an increased persecution in the country of Ukraine because of the influence of the Russian government on that country, and the Christians who are standing up for democracy are being persecuted. And Father, we pray that you would first preserve their life, but Father, in the midst of their persecution, may they inspire others to stand for those principles that would reflect your likeness. Now, Lord, we ask that you would continue to direct in this service, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jo has a special for us this morning. Call upon her at this time.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. This is a day to remember mothers, grandmothers, foster mothers, adoptive mothers, those who have nurtured us that are not necessarily our mothers, but that have inspired us in some way to be better people. This song was written by someone who had waited for a very long time to have a baby. And this was her love song to her infant child. It's called Miracle. You're my life's one miracle. Everything I've done that's good, and you break my heart with tenderness, and I confess it's true. Take is always for your sake.
Right up here, Ella. Will that work for you? All right. There you go.
Ephesians 6:1-3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land.
Thank you, Ella. All right, and I'm going to invite the children to come up and join me for the first part of our message anyways today. Now, this is kind of a risky thing for me to do today, you know. But I'm willing to take the risk if you guys are, okay? Never done this before in my life. Never had the main message in the service be for kids, so I need you guys to help me out and to be good, okay? And can we make room for everybody here? I think we can. If we need to move some stuff out of the way here, we could. Let's just move that out of the way. Get one more person up there. Move that over here. There we go. Okay. Now, I have been doing, if I can just summarize what I've been doing here, I've been doing a sermon series called, you can sit up there, Luke.
Yeah.
I would rather you did.
I want him to.
You can both sit up there. There you go. There's room for you all. We've been doing a sermon series, and I know you guys have been missing most of this, but it's called Making Your Family Function. And the first message was on an attitude of service, and that's when we did a work project here at the church and tried to get a lot of people out, and we still got some of those that are coming up that people are going to be participating in. And then the second one was on, I got to check my notes, the authenticity in marriage. So for moms and dads, to be having a good relationship together is an important thing in a marriage. And then parents that teach and train their children, that's a big part of being a good and functioning family. And then also men that are loving leaders, for men to be the kind of leaders that they need to have in their home. But here is the last one today, and it is, it's what is it, Luke?
For children to obey their parents.
To obey and to honor their parents, that's right. That's what we're looking at today. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to ask God to bless this message and our time together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the verse of scripture that Ella just read for us from Ephesians 6 about the importance of children obeying and honoring their parents. Lord, I pray that as we talk about this today with the kids, that you'll help them to understand some of this and that it'll become real for them. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I have something with me this morning to kind of start this discussion. And I'm just wondering, does anybody know what this is? Don't answer adults if you know, but Luke thinks he knows. Does it just raise their hand if anybody else thinks they know what it is? So Luke thinks he knows what it is. What do you think it is, Luke?
Top?
Well, that's close. You're kind of on the right idea. What, do you have an idea what you think it is?
No.
Do you know what it is? Mm-mm.
A planet.
A planet. It does look like that. It does have some qualities like a planet in that it spins. Oh, there is a wheel in there. This is called a gyroscope. Have you ever heard of one of those before? You know, when I was a boy, we didn't have video games, and we didn't have a lot of elaborate toys, and this was one of the things that would keep us occupied for a long time when I was a kid, is just a little toy like this. One of the things that's interesting about gyroscopes is that they spin, and I borrowed this from Mr. Wilson over here, and what we're going to do is this is going to spin. But do you think that this can balance on a string?
No.
You watch this. We're going to do a little experiment and see if this can spin on a string. So will you help me out here, Mr. Wilson? Make sure that you all can see this, okay? Because you may never see anything like this again in your life. Only at Zion Baptist Church do you get to see a gyroscope in action, okay? Whoops. I thought you were doing something there. No, we're going to get it. Don't worry. We're going to get it. Okay. Let me just see. I'll do it this way here. How about that? Now, it is going to fall here in just a moment. Now, what happens is, thank you very much, Mr. Wilson, and thank you for lending this to me for today. What happens is, the wheel that spins on this is what keeps the force going to help it balance itself in very precarious. Like, some people can actually balance these things on the end of a pencil, on the end of their finger, all kinds of things that you can do with the gyroscope. Some of the places where gyroscopes, the reason why I asked Mr. Wilson if he had one was because he works at NASA. And NASA uses these a lot. There's actually gyroscopes that are in the space shuttles. There are gyroscopes that are in the space stations. And have you ever heard of the Hubble telescope? Have you ever learned about that in school? Okay. There are gyroscopes that are in the Hubble telescope to help it know what direction it's going in. And that's what it's used for in the space shuttle and in the space station, to help keep them oriented to the right direction. Were you going to say something, Berkeley? Yes. Could it balance on a house, on the top of a house?
Yeah.
I don't see why it couldn't. If you could get up there, you could put it on the top of your house and it could balance up there. So gyroscopes are used not just as a toy for kids, but they're a very important thing that are used in science, mostly to help learn direction and determine direction for an object like the space shuttle or the Hubble telescope or the space station. There's something else, though, that we're going to talk about today that God has given to us to help us get direction in life. And Miss Sue has made me this really nice replica of these. They're not quite as heavy as the ones that Moses originally had, but they're very similar to the ones that Moses had. Does anybody know what these are that I'm holding in my hands? The Ten Commandments. Yes, some people answered without raising their hands. The Ten Commandments. And now, I've done them a little bit differently than how I think that Moses had them. How do you think Moses had them that's different than mine?
Like two pieces of stone.
One commandment on each stone? Well, actually, we know that there were two tablets that he had, but it were written differently. What do you think, Ella?
Five
on each side, and I've got it done differently, don't I? I have four, and then I have five over here, and then I've got one in the middle, and there's a reason why I've done it differently than what Moses did, because I want to make a point here this morning. So, I believe that these Ten Commandments that God has given to us are there to help us to know what direction we're supposed to go in life. The first four commandments all have to do with how it is that we're supposed to relate to God. Now, notice what these say. Do not worship any other gods is the first one. So this tells us about what we're supposed to think about God. We're not supposed to have any other god or even pretend god that we worship instead of the true God. Don't make any idols. That means don't say, I'm going to pretend that God is in this gyroscope and I'm going to fall down and worship that gyroscope, okay? Or I'm going to say that because there's that picture of Jesus up there that I'm going to worship that stained glass window and think that that's really Jesus that I'm worshiping. That's not how it works, and God doesn't want us to do that. Then the third commandment is, don't misuse the name of God. What do you think that means?
Don't use it in a bad way.
Okay, don't use it in a bad way, Kathina? Don't make it a bad word. That's right. You can say God's name, and you can say Jesus when you're talking about him in a nice way, but you can't say it in a mean way or in a bad way or as a cuss word, right? Okay, those are the wrong things to do. Okay, so these are all about God. And then the last one on this tablet says, keep the Sabbath holy. What do you think that means?
Go to church every Sunday.
Okay, go to church every Sunday. It's a little bit more than that. Violet? Okay. Do you know what holy means?
Keep God in everything.
Okay, keep God in everything. Holy means to set it apart from everything else. So the other 6 days of the week can be kind of normal. You do the things that you do. You go to school. If you have chores at home, you do those. You eat, you play, all those kinds of things. But Sunday, the Sabbath day, which is our Sabbath day, needs to be different. And part of it is coming to church and being together with people. So those are the first four. And those are all about God. Now, these last five on this second tablet all have to do with our relationships with other people. And so this one says, do not murder. So that's kind of a given, isn't it? That it's not cool. It's not cool to murder anybody, is it? It's not cool to kill anybody. We shouldn't be doing that. We definitely shouldn't be doing that. And then the second one is, do not commit adultery. Now, that's a little bit hard to talk about in a children's story. It's even hard to talk about on Sunday mornings, period. But basically what that means is...
love another person when you're married.
That's a great way to put it, Luke. Give me five, man. I like that. I like that. You've helped me out this morning. Okay, so don't try to be with somebody else when you're in love and married to somebody, okay? Don't do that, okay? So then the next one, it says, do not steal. So don't take something that belongs to somebody else. It's not yours, right?
Somebody else when you're already married, because
then you'll go to jail.
Married at first will come attack you.
That could happen. Don't you wish we had question and answer every Sunday morning during the sermon? That has happened, Berkeley. I'm not sure where you're getting that information from, but it's pretty accurate probably. Okay, let's get back to our second tablet here. All right, we're done talking about that commandment, all right? No more. No more comments about it, no more questions about it. Do not steal. Okay, so another thing, how does it make you feel? Have you ever had anything stolen from you? Have you ever had something stolen from you? How did it make you feel? Did you like the person who stole it from you? You
didn't find out who it was.
You didn't find out. You felt bad, right. So stealing things from other people, it causes relationships to be bad. Yes, Luke?
Does it count when the person stealing is your sister?
I'm sure that there were extenuating circumstances. That's all I can say, Luke, if your sister stole something from you. Okay, so the next one is, do not lie. And you know, those are things, stealing and lying, those are things that really hurt your friendships with other people. If you've ever had anybody lie to you before, it's not a fun thing, it's not a nice thing to do. And then the last one says is, do not covet. Do you know what covet means? Did you want to say something, sweetheart? You've got new shoes? Is that what you want? And you see, that's a great segue into this, because somebody else might look at those shoes and they might think, I really like those shoes. I'm coveting those new shoes. What's your name? What's her name?
Harper.
Yeah, coveting those new shoes. She's got new shoes on, and somebody might look at those and say,
I got new shoes.
You've got new shoes too?
I did.
Good
too.
Job, Ethan.
I did too in my house.
Wow, lots of new shoes today. Okay, you were going to say something, Ella, about covet? Or do you remember? You don't remember. Okay, so covet is like to look at something that somebody else has and say, I really, really want to have that badly. And so much so that you begin to not like that other person because they have something that you want. Okay, so that's the first tablet, and that's the second tablet. What have I left out?
Honor your mother and father.
Yes, Kathina. Honor your mother. Why do you think I left that out?
Because today's Mother's Day.
Well, yes, that's part of it, but there's more than that. Macaulay?
Because you said the last for...
I saved the best for last. That could be it. Yes, Ella?
Because mothers are special.
Because mothers are specials. These are all good reasons, but that's not the main reason. Berkeley, why am I leave that one out?
You know, I have something, but it's not on there. You know why people...
You want to add an 11th commandment? Okay, that's very good information, but I'm not sure that it has to do with what we're talking about today, okay? We'll get back to that on another Sunday, though, okay? All right, so the reason why I've got it done like this is not how Moses had it. Okay, Luke, do you have something?
Because you're talking about a functioning family.
I'm talking about a functioning family. Here's the reason why I've got it in the middle, is because honor your father and mother has to do with both how you worship God and how you relate to other people. Let me explain that to you in just a moment. When you honor, and the word honor, for right now, let's just say that the word honor means to respect. Okay? I don't have anything behind it. To honor your father and mother. When you honor your father and mother, do you know what you're doing at the same time? You're keeping all of these commandments. You're worshiping God. You're not putting an idol there. You're not going to misuse His name. And you're going to keep the Sabbath holy. All of those things happen when we honor our father and mother. And here's why it happens. Because we believe that God is our creator, don't we? We believe that God created everything. But let's face facts, folks. How did you guys get here on this planet?
By your mother.
By your mother and your father, right? Right? Your mother and father. And God. And God was part of it. That's right.
And not committing adultery.
Well, okay. Let's not get into that. All right. Okay. Pray for me. Okay. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. How does one recover from this, Steve? I don't know. Okay. But what happened here is that God created you in your mother's belly. And your mother and father were all part of that creative process. And the neat thing about it is that when you honor your mother and father because they're your mother and father, what you're doing in some way is you're recognizing that God is your creator and that you worship God and that you honor your mother and father because you were created by God through your parents. So when you honor your mother and father, you do that. Now, honoring your mother and father also helps you to do all of these as well, because when you honor your mother and father, and another word for that is, can we get to that in a moment, Berkeley? Another word for that is the word respect. And what you learn when you honor your mother and father all the time when you're children, and even as you get to be adults and we continue to honor our parents, is we begin to realize what it means to have respect for other people. So we're going to do those things that we're not going to commit murder because we respect people. We're going to keep our marriage vows because we respect the person we're married to. We're going to not steal because we respect other people, and we're not going to lie because we respect people, and we're not going to covet because we respect people. And those are all things that happen when we learn what it is to honor our mother and our father. So that becomes a little bit of a hinge, and it's so important. Now, let's talk a little bit more, though, about what it means to actually... Okay, Berkeley, can you make it quick, buddy, because we're running out of time.
You should obey your mom and dad, mm-hmm. And be nice to them, and if you be bad to them, and this is something for all kids, it's not be mean to your parents or you're going to get in trouble.
Okay, well spoken. Be nice to your parents or you're going to get in trouble. Okay, now here's the thing. How is it that you practically can honor your mother and father when you're your age? Ella actually read it for us just a few moments ago. Can you remember what she read?
Uh-uh.
Violet, do you remember? It said, children, do something to your parents.
Children,
obey your parents, okay? And the reason why I say that is because I want you to I'm going to read a little bit of that passage again. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. So here... St. Paul, when he's writing this, he's quoting from these passages in the Old Testament have to do with the Ten Commandments, and he's saying, the way that you honor your mother and father is by obeying them. Now, there are some things that he says here. One, obey them in the Lord, which means as your parents teach you things about God, you need to obey them. But also, he says this, that this is the first commandment with a promise. You know, all the other 9 commandments that are listed on this tablet, they have no promises with them, but this middle one, it has a promise with it. And you know what it is? The promise is that it may be well with you, and that you will enjoy life, and that you will live long. So it means that when you honor and obey your parents, the promise that God gives to you, and when you obey them, is that, one, that you're going to enjoy life, you're going to have fun in life. Don't you want to have fun in life? Obey your parents. That you're going to... that it's going to be well with you, that you're going to be happy and you're going to have good relationships with other people, and then lastly, that you're going to live long. How old do you want to live to be? How old do you want to live to be?
280.
That you just might do it. You just might do it. How about you?
3,081.
Well, I don't know. That 3,081, that might be hard. So, 100 years old. And I think that's very conceivable for your generation to be making it to 100. 100 years old. Didn't you already say?
No, I didn't.
Okay,
99.
Sorry. 99, that's a good age, yes.
That's what I was
gonna say. 110? 125. So we all want to live to be old, don't we? We want to live a long life. And that's part of what God says of how we can do that is by being obedient to our parents. So it's very important for you guys to do that. Now let me just check my notes and make sure that I haven't forgotten anything here that I wanted to say to you guys. Pardon me?
You must have been obedient to your parents.
Yes. And you know, we have some folks in our church that Miss Wessels up here is 93, right? Were you obedient to your parents, Norma, when you were you obedient to your parents when you were a little girl?
No.
Were you obedient?
Yes.
See, she's lived to be 93 years old. She was obedient to her parents when she was a little girl. And so that's why she's 93, because she listened to her parents. Okay, now, let me ask you this. I have, my two daughters are, Sue, help me out now. Katie and Amy are, Katie's 25 and Amy's 24, or 25 and 26? No. Isn't it 27 this year that Katie turns? To almost 27, okay. So my oldest is 26 and my youngest is 25. And do you think that they still need to obey me today because I'm their father?
Some people are 70 or obeying their parents now, they're 100.
My oldest daughter, Katie, she's got three babies of her own, and they need to obey her. Do you think that my daughters need to keep obeying me, Berkeley?
No.
No, why is something said?
Well, okay. Yes. Just wait. The answer to that is no. My daughters don't have to keep obeying me, but they do have to honor me. They do have to respect me, yes, and they have to honor me all the days, not of just my life, but all the days of their life. So that means that even though you will only obey your parents for as long as your children living in their house, you need to continue to honor them and respect them all the days of your life so that it may be well with you, that you will enjoy life, and that you will live long on this earth. Is it about the subject, Brady?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're
going to live long, you better start now. Make up for lost time, Brady? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, okay. You just want to make sure that you're hedging your bets there, okay? All right. So thank you very much for being such a good audience and for helping me out with all this stuff. And what I have here is I have a little activity sheet on the Ten Commandments, and then I have some crayons here. And so if you guys want to come and pick up some crayons, and if you can share the crayons with other people, because I don't have enough packs for everybody, but take a sheet and take some crayons, and you can go back. And if you guys could help me out and quietly work on those during the rest of the service, because I have a few things I want to say to the adults this morning, okay? There's some crayons there if you want to use them. All right, is everybody getting some crayons? Okay. Ella, would you grab one of those sheets for that little girl too and take that up to her? Thank you very much. All right. Well, I survived that. I was wondering there for a while. I hope that that'll be something you'll have a little conversation with, those of you who have kids or grandkids in your house after church today or this week. I do want to just make a few comments to adults and to parents that are here today, and I'm going to keep this brief, I assure you. I realize that most of us are in this situation where we're the adult children of parents, and so that means that my father, who is still living, many of you who still have a mother and father that are still living, but even for those of us who have a parent who is deceased, my mother is deceased, and many of you have parents who are deceased, we still have this obligation to honor them all the days of our life. That's our responsibility. I find that there is a real shift that comes in life, and many people struggle through this, in that there comes a point in life when we're becoming an adult, and we're coming of age, as it were, but sometimes it's even well into adult life, or sometimes it doesn't even hit us until the middle age of life when our parents are becoming more elderly and the shift of responsibility happens. But here's what happens, is that the onus of maintaining and caring for the relationship that you have with your parents, when you are a child, they are the primary one that is responsible for making sure that that relationship is healthy and vibrant. But the moment that you become an adult, and I know that some of you are still trying to figure that out, am I an adult yet or not? But the moment that you become an adult, The moment that you, whether if it's graduation from high school or when you get married or when you have your first child or when you get your career or whatever the case may be, the moment that you become an adult, the responsibility for maintaining and keeping the relationship with your parents healthy now becomes yours. Because you are no longer obligated to obey them, but you are responsible to honor your parents. There is nothing that the Bible says after a child is fully grown that the parents are supposed to do towards the child. But it does say a lot about how we as the children, the adult children of our parents, are supposed to honor them. That helped me tremendously to frame and to think about my relationship with my parents as I became an adult, that wounds that I perhaps maybe thought that were unjust in terms of things that happened within the family, it helped me to be able to frame those and think of what is my responsibility to my parents. And if that helps you, I encourage you to think of your responsibility to your parents today in that way, that it's not so much upon them, it's upon you to make sure that the relationship stays healthy and well. From my article this last week, I do want to just talk a moment about parents to point some things out to you who still have children in your home of how you can help them to obey. And like in any society, there has to be rules and consequences for breaking rules. And in the home, I think that rules are those things that need to be established that are thoughtful. The parent who begins to establish rules on the cuff, or on the fly, as it were, when things are happening, are going to find themselves getting into a lot of problems in raising their children. Give some thoughtful consideration to the rules that you establish in your home. My advice to you is to make them as few as possible. It's difficult to remember rules, and the more rules that you impose upon your children, the thing that happens is, with the consequences of them, that you may be punishing them, but you may end up punishing yourself as well by rules that you impose upon children. When it comes to rules as well, though, I think that they need to come from the mutual input of both parents. The interesting thing that happens when two people get married and start to have children together is that the husband was raised in one family that had one set of rules, and not that they were good or bad, but the wife was raised in another home, and they had a different set of rules. There might have been some similarities, and not that one was better than the other, but they're just different. And if the parents of this new family don't come together and establish what the new family rules are going to be and the consequences of it, they're going to have problems. And if you think that you can get by with that, just wait until your 2-year-old or your 3-year-old figures it out, that mom has a different set of rules than dad does. They can smell that a mile away. And once children figure out that mom and dad aren't on the same page, they'll play you like a fiddle to get what they want, and they will break up the harmony that is in your family faster than anything you can imagine. And that's not good for the child, that's not good for the parent, and in the end, it's not good for society when children begin that tactic of manipulation with their parents. Parents need to get on the same page, and even when you don't always agree, Sue and I always had this kind of policy. We never argued about rules in the household in front of the kids. She might have always agreed with the things that I wanted to do, and I didn't always agree with the things that she wanted to do in terms of discipline and the implementation of the consequences for rules, but we never let the kids know that. We would go off and talk about it privately, and then we would come out as a united force and talk about what we're going to do with the kids, and that's, I think, good advice for any parents. Rules also have to be reasonable, and I think that the more that you can explain them to the whole family and to all of the kids, it's beneficial for them and for everybody. And that includes what are the consequences going to be. I think a good rule to use when establishing rules in the family is this good for the child? Is this going to be good for their overall development and for their life growth? Or is it going to be something that is just a matter of convenience for me as the parent and as the one who holds all the authority? That was from my article, but if I may just read one other passage of Scripture to you and just make a few brief comments about that. It's from Ephesians, or from Hebrews chapter 12. And we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, from the author of Hebrews. He talks about this whole thing of discipline. Now, he's talking about it in the context of God's discipline towards us as adults, as Christians. But he's using as his example in this how parents are to discipline their children. And so we can gain from this some good principles of what discipline really looks like. And we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 4. And he says this, first of all, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Now, let me just say this. I believe that a way that we can interpret that, in light of the passage that's going to come in just a few moments of this idea of discipline, we can come to the conclusion that discipline is something that is necessary, or there's going to be further destruction that's going to happen down the road. See, the writer of Hebrews is saying to them, you've gotten yourself wrapped up in some sin problems here, but it hasn't come to the point where you've actually spilled blood, where you've actually gotten yourself in so much trouble that it's costing you your life or your lifeblood. Discipline is necessary in anybody's life, or there's going to be destruction in the life of that person. And so it will be for a child that doesn't have discipline in their life. It's going to eventually lead to their own destruction and to the destruction of the society that we hold to. Secondly, he goes on in verse 5 and he says this, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. Discipline needs to be by the means of words and actions. So here he's reminding his listeners that you have forgotten words that I've given to you previously, like what I would to a son, for your benefit, for your help in your own growth and in your life. And discipline is something that needs to have both words, but it also needs to have actions to it. We talked about that on the Sunday that I spoke about parents who teach and train their children, the two wheels of the chariot of where there's nurture and there's teaching that needs to happen. Nurture or discipline and teaching on the other wheel moving in the same direction. Parents need to have that with their children. We need to be committed to the idea of not only giving to them instruction, but also actions that affirm that instruction and will discipline that instruction when they don't listen to it. Because if there aren't consequences, if there aren't discipline for the disobedience of words, then those words mean absolutely nothing. But look at what he says now in verses 6 through 9, beginning in, I guess it's the halfway through verse 5. He says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord's discipline, the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. The motive of discipline is to show love. I know that we say that when we're going to discipline our child, that this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. You've probably said that. Or I'm doing this because I love you. And if you don't actually say that to a child, you think that in your mind, that I'm going to do this because I love you. The motive that we ought to have always for discipline has to be rooted in love. And if you catch yourself in that moment, in the moment of when you're going to discipline a child, and you say, I can't do this because I'm not doing this in love, then you shouldn't do it. If you're doing it out of a reaction, if you're doing it in anger, if you're doing it as payback or retribution, or if you're doing it because it makes you feel good, then those are wrong reasons. The only reason for disciplining a child is because you love that child and you want what is best for them, because what you are trying to teach them is a vital skill or value of life that they need to have. The goal of discipline needs to be obedience. Verse 9 says this, moreover, we will have all human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our own spirits and live? The goal of obedience is to teach respect in life. That a parent who doesn't teach respect and teach a child to obey doesn't teach that child to respect. And so if in the very grassroots of what society is, and your family is a microcosm of our society, it's a little mini culture, and if a child doesn't learn to honor their parents and to obey their parents, they're not going to learn to respect their parents. And if children don't learn to respect their parents, then they're not going to respect other authority figures in society. They're not going to respect their teachers at school. They're not going to respect the law enforcement. They're not going to respect the rules and the laws of the government and of our land. They're not going to respect their future spouse. And they're not going to respect their future children. It's a very dangerous snowball moment that happens when parents don't teach their children to obey. The result of discipline, though, is a short-term pain for a long-term gain. Notice what it says in verses 10 and 11. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You have to remember when you're disciplining a child that it is a short-term pain for a long-term gain. I can remember one of the very first times that we ever had to discipline our girls. We didn't get Katie until she was six, and I don't know, it was probably, a couple of hours after we had her. But we disciplined her, and she cried and broke my heart. And I thought, man, I must be the world's worst father for making my child cry. I don't ever want to see my child cry again. She cried many times after that, I can assure you. And I got used to that idea of discipline. But it's not an easy thing to discipline a child, to see them go through pain for the moment. But you must remember that when you are disciplining a child, it is for the long-term gain. And when we do that, God is honored and God will be blessed. Children need to honor and obey their parents. That goes for all of us. But when a child, as Paul gives his interpretation of those Old Testament commands from Exodus and from Deuteronomy, that fifth command, he describes it to us specifically within the family unit, that children will honor their parents when they're in their home by being obedient to them. That obedience teaches them respect, which eventually leads to that long-term benefit that those children will continue to honor their parents all the days of their life. So that means for you as their parents, they're going to honor you for the rest of your life that you live here on earth. But even after you die, if your children outlive you, which we all hope that they do, they will continue to honor you as a person who God used to bring them into this world. Children, honor and obey your parents. Father in heaven, I pray that these moments that we spent discussing this important command, the fifth commandment, Lord, will resonate and will stay true in our hearts and in our minds. I pray for the children that in some small way there may be something that they'll take away from the message today that will shape them and mold them and help them to realize the importance of being obedient to their moms and dads. And Father, I pray that you help parents who have children in their home to be creative and to stay true to the principles of the Word of God, of creating a framework for discipline and for obedience in their home. And Lord, I pray that you help all of us to live lives where we show honor to our mothers and our fathers all the days of our life. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books and we're going to sing together number 330, Amazing Grace. Number 330. Let's stand as we sing this together.
Oh,
Father, we thank you today for your word and for its influence and impact on our life by your Spirit. Bless us as we go from here. And Father, may we all be people who live lives of respect and honor to those that you've given to us in our life. And Father, we pray that as we honor our parents, that our worship of you will only be enhanced. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.